Hey everyone, it's Michelle.
I'm Brayden.
And this is Spooky Shit. So this week we are going to be talking about some conspiracy theories.
I'm going to start by talking about the crisis actor conspiracy theory.
And then I'm going to talk about some theories about why so many people have gone missing in national parks and forests. There was no shorter way for me to say that. I'm so sorry.
Warning. This episode may contain graphic details. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, but before we get started, how's it going, Brayden?
It's going good. I forgot the order I wanted to say stuff, but great. I guess I'll start with today. Today I have a job interview. Ooh. At Costco.
Costco's actually really good.
So that's I'm exciting. Hoping that goes well. You guys will find out next week how it went.
Yes.
And yeah, just
would you be like cashier, or what would you be doing? Or would you be behind the scenes?
I don't know. She just said that I'd be like anywhere in the warehouse. Like I'd be in the kitchen.
Wherever
like,
they need you.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And it would be seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a chance
she was if you're like, a she good did, employee.
Yeah, she's told me. She's like, we do tend to keep a few people, like the best of the best.
I feel like that would be you.
Like, I was like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah. So when should I start?
But yeah, and then I just was gonna talk about Disney. They went.
Oh yes. Really well. Your Thanksgiving Disneyland, how did it go? Yes, it went really well, you just said.
Yes, it went really well. It was really fun.
I saw your pictures. There were like 20 of you in your group.
Yep.
I counted because I was like, whoa, it's like a classroom.
No, it was cool. Like, we actually, there was only 4 people that actually didn't get on any rides. It was my grandma, her sister, and then the 2 little babies.
Yeah.
And my brother. So there's actually 21, I think.
Holy shit, there's a lot of you.
Yeah, because on the rides, we would always say like 16 of us.
The poor employees were like, I fucking hate my life.
But yeah, I think like on Big Thunder, we took up like half of a train.
Yeah, I was going to say the entire train.
I thought so, but no. For Pirates of the Caribbean, we took our own boat.
No, you guys have your own entire boat?
Our own entire boat.
Holy shit.
And then for Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance, we took up like our own 2 little cars.
Oh my god.
Like, we definitely like packed
everything. And you were all able to get on Rise of the Resistance too?
Mm-hmm.
That's lucky.
Right now they aren't doing virtual queue. Or you have to check the app to see if they're doing it or not. I guess they're doing like hybrid right now. Maybe on like busy days they're gonna do the queue, but for now they're doing like a standby line.
Oh, that's so cool. So I should say for everyone who doesn't know, this is like the newer Star Wars ride at Disneyland, and the virtual queue that Brayden was talking about, like you would have to log in on the Disney app at 7 o'clock in the morning and try to join this virtual queue, and it sold out within seconds. Like so many times we had it open at 7 in the morning and we'd refresh it and it'd be like, sorry, we're gone. Like they're out. You could try once at 7 and once at noon. Yeah. And it was stressful. That's why I was like, you guys all 16 got it.
Yes.
Dang.
Well, just kind of what sucks about the virtual queue too is because for when they first came out with it, it was, you had to be inside the park by 7.
Yeah.
Which, and then try to like get in the queue.
The park doesn't even open at 7. Like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. But then they changed it to where you just as long as you're on the app at 7, you could like get in. But
so
now
you do it on the drive
this,
up.
Yeah. But now with this hybrid, you do have to be inside the park at 7.
Oh.
So it's like back to how it was. But it's just you never know if it's gonna be virtual queue or like you can wait in line.
And we're going in a couple weeks, it'll be interesting to see. If not, we could always try for noon. Whenever we went with my dad, like, last month, they, I didn't even want to try to explain to my dad how to figure out this app. Like, I was like, that sounds like a nightmare. They could just not go on it. But me and Robert tried to go on it, but we didn't get in the park till a little after noon. And you can, like, I mean, maybe not anymore, but before at 7, you could be, like, driving up and do it on your phone. But trying to do it at noon, it was like, you have to physically be in the park. And we could not because we were in line for the parking. That was unfortunate. But we went a couple weeks ago. And we got in line for Rise of the Resistance, like, in the queue. And then we ended up leaving before we went.
Damn.
Because we were tired.
It happens.
It does. I mean, we're going in a couple weeks anyway.
But yeah, it was really fun. It was definitely, like, nice to hang out with my dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
I do feel, like, a little closer to them.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Like, we actually talked a lot because the weekend before Thanksgiving, they came down to San Diego because they were going to go to the zoo.
Oh, cool.
The San Diego Zoo. And so they invited us over to their hotel the night before they were going to go to the zoo.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just, like, spent the majority of the night just talking and
catching up,
like, telling them little stories, and they were telling us the stories of, like, that my dad fun. And stuff. Yeah, it was cool.
How are they related to you? They're on your dad's side. Is it like your... Yeah.
It's my dad's brothers.
Oh, okay.
And then my grandma.
Okay,
and
then
my grandma's sister was there too, and like her son.
Okay, nice.
But it was really cool. My grandma's sister and my grandma were both like really just supportive. Mm-hmm. And they kept like... they like asked me for my name, and they can't really say Brayden. So I was I was like, just call me Milo.
Already begun, the two different names. Yeah,
it has. And so, I don't know. It was just nice because, like, my aunt, my grandma's sister, she was just, like, she almost made me cry a few times because, like, she just kept apologizing. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. And she was talking Spanish, but she was like, I'm sorry. Like, I keep, like, messing up. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I understand it's going to take time. Like, I'm not expecting it to like happen overnight, and she was like, no, that it's not gonna take time. I was like, okay, but like it's gonna take some getting used to, and she was like, no, like
good. Like, I like that, like, you're way too apologetic about it. You like apologize to us, and I'm like, I'm the one who fucked up here, why are you apologizing?
I don't know. But I was so it just like almost made me want to cry a few times because she was just very like adamant about it. And just, like, kept apologizing to me, like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she'd be like, ay, mija, or mijo, like. But, yeah, she was, like, just very supportive. And she was like, fuck what people think. Like, do you.
Yay.
What makes you happy? And I was like, stop.
Stop, you're crazy. Call me mijo again.
Yeah, right? but, yeah, she's the best. And, I've actually never been to, like, Guadalajara, where, like, both of my family is from.
Yeah.
And so they were actually, like, inviting us over, like, in the future. Like, if we wanted to, she was like, my house is open. I was like, yo, that's sick. I was like, I'm definitely going to take you guys up on that offer one day.
Oh, yeah. 100%. That sounds fun.
Because I was actually telling my uncle that I would love to, like, see, like, where my bloodline comes from, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the Padillas, because I really don't know much of my dad's side.
Mm-hmm. Do any of them still live there?
In Guadalajara?
Yeah.
Yes, my grandma's sister and, like, her son.
Oh, cool. So you would have, like, a local to show you around, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And they both her son, well, because her son, like, has very good company and he has money.
Yeah.
And his wife is, like, really nice, too.
Oh,
and
cool.
They basically, like, offered, they said, if you do go, like, you guys can stay at our house and we'll, like, take you out, basically.
Oh my god, ballin'. I would be, like, 100%, I'm on my way right now.
I know, I was like, bit. Because, yeah, I was just telling my, like, uncle, like, how, you know, I would like to know more, like, and then, it's just kind of hard, too, because we're not, basically, none of us are really, like, on good speaking terms with my grandpa.
Oh, really?
Which is, like, where our name comes from and everything.
Is that your dad's dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting old senile man.
I know a few of them. I can imagine.
Yeah. He's just, yeah.
I mean, Is he not with your grandma anymore, I'm guessing?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
We haven't been together for years.
Oh, shit. All right.
Like, years. Since, like, my dad was little.
So he's just, like, on his own doing his old senile thing. No yeah. one's hanging out he with
was,
him.
He was basically, like, in and out of their life. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't hang out with him. Hang out with the rest of your family. Yeah, I mean,
like, I was telling my uncle, I was like, as far as I know, I don't have a grandpa.
You basically don't, right? I mean, you don't have a relationship
care
with
about
him.
Us. He deadass doesn't care about us.
He's just not real. Yeah, you guys I mean, just showed up without him there.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because my uncle was telling me that I guess my grandpa's brother is, like, the complete opposite, and he, like, loves, like, my uncle and, like,
oh,
just, like, anytime they would go over, he was, like, all about family and stuff like that. I was like, damn.
That's nice, at least.
My grandpa.
I know, what the fuck? Just hang out with his brother only.
Right? I know, it kind of sucks, but, like, whatever.
You could just pretend that your great-uncle is your grandpa.
True. I mean, he's never really been in the picture, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, grandpas so. Don't do much. They're just kind of there.
I mean, he has tried to reach out a few times over the years, but I'm like, I don't know what to talk to you about. Like, we ain't close like that. Or, like, just randomly, he'll, like, send a letter.
It's kind of like too like, little too late, bud.
Right?
Like, why now?
Or because he'll... What he likes to do is my dad, like, draws and stuff, and he has a lot of good drawings, and he'll send them to my grandpa, and then, but my dad will ask him to, like, send us, like,
I think you told me drawings. That you've gotten drawings from your dad.
Yeah, well, he always sends them to my grandpa, and then, like, my dad tells him, like, send it to, like, us.
Yeah.
But instead of sending us, like, the originals, he sends us, like, literally, like, photocopies.
What? That is so weird.
And then basically, like, yeah, just he always, like, sends, like, his card and, like, be like, call me. I'm like, I have nothing to say to you, sir.
You need to just contact your dad and be like, can you just send me your pictures directly? Like, I don't want to get them through your dad anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's awkward.
I mean, I did tell him because he was, I think, I don't remember who was, but somebody was, like, trying to, like, pressure me to, like, call him.
Your and
I
grandpa?
I think, yeah.
Oh.
I think it was my dad, like, trying to, like, be like, oh, hit up your grandpa and this and that. And I was like, I literally told him straight up. I was like, Dad, I don't know the man. Like, you know, like, don't try to pressure me into talking to him. Like,
yeah.
I'm not. Like, I have nothing to say to him. Like,
he
doesn't know us. I don't know him. Like, he doesn't care, obviously.
I don't know if it's a hot take, but I'm like, if you don't know your family, then I'm like, why do you even need to talk to them? Like, I have, like, family members that I never speak to, and I'm like, if I got, like, married, I wouldn't, like, invite them to a wedding or thing because I don't know them. They just happen to be related to me.
It was funny because I was talking to my cousin. Well, because that's the thing about my uncle. He does have favorites. I
mean, oh, really?
My grandpa.
Oh, God.
He has favorites and his grandchildren. And
of
we
course.
Definitely weren't one of them. And
I mean, you guys are getting the photocopied pictures. I could tell.
But I mean, even when we were younger, like, it was all about his other granddaughters and stuff.
That's awkward when it's, like, children and you're choosing favorites. Like, at least now you're adults, but if you're kids, ugh.
I didn't really care.
I mean, that really more goes to show that you don't have a relationship with this man. This is not your grandpa. It's just some guy. I mean,
but yeah. The Disney trip was definitely really fun. The next day, because the fam only went for Thursday for actual Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Tis Disneyland, and then just, like, me and my brother and, like, there's my mom and stuff and sisters, we all went to California Adventure the next day.
Oh, how was it? I saw you, like, posting stuff with your brother looking excited. Nice. Yeah.
Because we had told him that we were gonna take him pre-COVID for his birthday, and we never did.
Oh, yikes.
And then COVID hit, and and then we heard the announcement of, like, Avengers Campus, so we were like, okay, we'll just wait a little longer and then take you. because I was like, he's obsessed with Spider-Man.
I was gonna ask, is he really into Avengers or Spider-Man?
Like, yes, he loves Marvel, and he's been into Spider-Man for like ever since like he was tiny.
Really?
It's funny because my mom tells this story of how he would, I guess when he was little, because he really wasn't very verbal when he was little.
Yeah.
He's gotten a lot better now, but when he was little, every time he would get mad, he would like do the motion.
Stop.
Like, yes, he would do like
the little
motion.
Spider web motion of his
yes,
hand.
Yes, the like shooting spider webs at you when he was mad.
That's actually the cutest thing ever to imagine a little kid doing that.
No, yeah. And my mom, like, I guess, like it was around the time that some like new Spider-Man like cartoon or something came out.
Yeah.
And it was funny because she was like, they were just so confused and like what he was doing. They were like, what the fuck? And I guess it wasn't until they like saw like an episode or like the movie that they were like, oh my god, like
he's threatening he's doing, you with spider webs.
Yeah, he's like, he's doing the Spider-Man, and ever since then, like, he's been obsessed with Spider-Man. Like, I remember one year he wanted to be Spider-Man for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom got them a costume, and he literally like would not take it off. He would wear it all the time, to the point where like it had so many holes and was like stinky.
Oh no.
And like even like he was like literally growing out of it, but he would still wear it.
He just loved it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And so my mom like secretly like had to throw it away.
Dang.
It was just like all old and ripped, and like he was
I'm
going
sure he was doing
it.
The little hand motions at her after that for throwing his costume away.
But yeah, so he's always been obsessed with Spider-Man. Like, he loves Spider-Man, he loves Marvel, like comics. And so yeah, we like made sure to go on the new Spider-Man ride.
What do you think?
It was awesome. Like, I honestly wasn't focusing too much on the ride myself, because I was like just enjoying him. Like, I'm like, sorry it took me so long, but
I know,
you know, like, it was nice.
His
to see
very
him.
Late
like,
birthday celebration.
Yeah, it was nice to see him smile, because he doesn't really smile. Like, when we take pictures and stuff, like, it's hard to get him to smile. He's just so serious and shit.
Yeah,
and like, dude, smile, and he's like, no. Like, he'll literally be like, no. So it was just really nice to see him like genuinely smile
and
like get excited, like basically like a little kid.
That's so cute.
He did get mad at me though when I was recording his reaction and stuff.
He did
like, stop recording me. I don't like you recording me. I was like, oh shit, I'm sorry, bro.
Do it in secret.
Yeah.
That's a perfect ride for him. So this ride, you like, it tracks your arms, and you go and basically mm-hmm. shoot your arms like Spider-Man. So as soon as you said he liked to do that motion as a kid, I was like, oh, I hope he went on this ride. Like, that's exactly all the ride is.
He actually went on it twice.
He did? Nice.
Because he's not a big fan of like roller coasters and stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot which rides he got on, but mostly like big rides, like he didn't really get on. He only got on like Pirates of the Caribbean, like Haunted Mansion,
all the more chill slow ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
the like chill ones. And then at California Adventure, he on yeah basically the same kind of rides, like Toy Story.
I love the Toy Story one, the Midway Mania.
Yeah,
that game's fun.
Toy Story, what else did he get on?
Ariel, Little Mermaid.
Ariel.
Yeah. Do you guys go on the Goofy Sky one?
No, we forgot about it.
We call that one the Death Trap.
Dude, that one's scary. It's a whiplash.
It's so much whiplash, and it's turning you. You're so high up, and we feel way too big to be on this ride. Like, it's for little kids. We're always afraid we're going to get, like, dumped out the side of the roller coaster, so we call it the Death Trap.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like that.
It really does, but, like, in a fun way, but also scary.
But, yeah, he didn't get on any of the big rides, and at the end of the night, because the Guardians line was like hella long.
Yeah.
So we like just waited until like basically the end of the night, and he didn't want to get on it, obviously.
I was gonna be surprised if he did. That ride is terrifying. I thought I was gonna shit myself.
So he was like, I just told him, I was like, go get on Spider-Man again. He was like, okay.
And then, happily.
Like, yeah. But yeah, we just like made him, we just told him like, stay right here, like in front of the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, ride, and we'll come get you, because it's big, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. My sisters were definitely happy. They got on a lot more rides this time because we had gone for my sister's birthday, like 3 years ago. But she had turned 7, so she was still kind of little and like was scared of stuff. But this time they did get on like all the big rides and they like totally loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my sister, the 10-year-old, she and we were in line for Guardians and I was like, you know, you can sit between me and mom, and she was like, okay.
The 10-year-old went on it?
Yeah, she went on it.
She's brave.
No, she literally almost started crying.
Okay, me too.
No. Well, no. Before getting on, like, we were in line.
Oh, no.
They, like, put us on the numbers so you, like, know where to sit.
Yeah.
And she literally was, like, starting to, like, freak out. She was like, Brandy. She was like, I'm shivering and I'm not even cold. She's like, I'm shivering and I'm not even cold. Oh, like, she was literally, like, trembling from how scared she is. And I was like, oh, shit.
That's, I was so like, it's funny.
Okay. I was like, you're gonna love it. And then she literally, like, they were like, okay, you guys go ahead and sit down. And she was, like, holding me back. She's like, Brandy, no, I'm scared. I'm scared. And she, like, almost was, like, started crying.
Oh.
And I was like, no, come on, Mila. Like, come on. Like, you got this. Like, it's gonna be fine. Watch. You're gonna love it. And then she was like, okay. And she was still shaking. And then, yeah, it started.
Like, I'm shivering. I'm not cold.
Yeah, she was. I started laughing. I was like, oh, you're so cute.
Oh, little baby.
Yeah, she ended up getting on. And, yeah, I mean, it started and she was screaming. But then she loved it.
Good. I'm so glad.
After we got off, she was like, oh my God, that was the best ride ever.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I was like, see, I told you. But yeah, both my sisters, they were like, oh my God. Like, hell yeah. I'm so glad we saved it for less. And
oh, I'm so glad they both liked it.
Yeah, my mom really liked it too. Well, she likes those like drop rides.
I used to. I've turned into such a little bitch baby. What happened to me?
It was funny because I didn't sit next to Alaris, and Mariana was telling me that she was like squishing the heck out of her. Like, she literally like grabbed her chest and like,
oh,
her sweater,
my God.
And was like,
that's hilarious.
But yeah, it was cool. It was fun.
I'm glad. Yeah. Whenever, do you know the car ride, the Mater's Jamboree?
The one that like spins in circles?
Yes. Yeah. And you're like in the back of a tractor and it's like spinning. Just pushes you back and forth, like very whiplashy. Okay. So yeah, I mean, describing for everyone, it's just like you're in the backseat of this little tractor and it keeps kind of like swinging you to one side and swinging you to the other. Whenever I went with my little brother, who's like 11, or I guess he turned 12 last month, but I went on it with him, and usually when me and Robert go on that ride, we like purposely throw our bodies to the side because it's more fun and dramatic. And I was like asking Josh, my little brother, if he wanted me to do that, and he's like, no, you're gonna squish me. And then I was like, okay, rude. But anyway, so I was like holding myself in place so I wouldn't slide. And then the last one, I like kind of lifted up my hand so it was more fun, and I was wearing leggings, so I just totally rammed him into the side of the cart because I just slid over. It reminded me of that, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'll hold on now. I just fucked him up.
Damn. Just squishing the shit out of him.
Yeah, basically. He's so small too.
Damn.
Kids are funny. I'm never gonna get over it. I'm shaking but I'm not cold, or shivering but I'm not cold.
Yeah, I literally was like dying laughing.
She didn't know what trembling was or anything. I love it.
Aww. But yeah, it was really fun. They definitely enjoyed it, and I enjoyed like their reactions and stuff because we obviously been there many times, and
what you
we know the whole layout and stuff.
Oh yeah, you're like, let me show you guys around.
Yeah, I was like, hey, let's come this way. It's a shortcut.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay.
I'm glad you guys had fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. I definitely enjoyed it. Took a lot of pictures.
More fun Thanksgiving than just at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is like the worst holiday. It's so boring.
Yeah.
And the history is dark too, obviously.
Yeah. Very true. Well, I feel like with at least like my family, we don't really celebrate it for what it was.
Yeah.
We just kind of take advantage and for like family time.
And I think that's what a lot of people do, but I can't help but think back. Yeah. Like, we should just rename the holiday or something.
Yeah.
Give it. Let's just rebrand it.
Grateful Day or something.
Grateful Day, yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Well, how am I doing, you ask? Well, where do I begin? Thanksgiving was actually me and Robert's 3-year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. But obviously it's a holiday, so we couldn't do anything. So we went to his parents' house. They like ordered Whole Foods, like all vegan food. And we ate a vegan Thanksgiving. That was pretty dank. But yeah, the anniversary was pretty anticlimactic. But this weekend, what did I do this weekend? I was being social. We hung out with our friends, and then it was like Robert's friend that he made from gaming like forever ago that happened to move to San Diego. And then it was him and his wife that we like hang out with sometimes. And then Robert's other gaming friend that he'd never met before and literally has been talking to for 13 years was in town with his wife. So we were like all six hanging out together, and that was pretty cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
I know. I guess Robert was saying how they were talking about how neither of them was what they imagined the other one would look like, because they've only seen each other's pictures once, I guess, on Facebook like 10 years ago, and Robert was just like a child. So
it was pretty fun. Wasn't as swole as he is now.
And I know, just jacked. I thought it was so funny though, because like Robert's 27, his friend's like 10 years older than him. And I was like, it's so funny that they were all just so willing to hang out with like teenagers online. You were like a child. If there's like a 14-year-old in my chat, I'd be like, oh, you're annoying, blocked.
I guess it's different with dudes though.
Maybe, yeah. Or just get annoyed at people really easily. That's just my own thing. But that was cool. I mean,
if they see how good his gaming skills are, like, they True. Probably don't mind.
I imagine he was really good. He does game literally 24/7.
Yeah, so.
We are trying to make it into a job, after all.
But, BoonBabe?
Yeah, BoonBabe. Twitch.tv/BoonBabe if any of you are interested. I stream all the time. I had a great stream last night. Our usual average viewer is like 6. And, I mean, I don't know if any of you, like, use Twitch. But basically, if someone's ending their stream, they could raid you, and it will take, like, all their viewers to your channel. And someone raided me, and they had 36 viewers. And I was, like, losing my fucking mind. And, like, we got, like, 7 follows, and we got 2 people who subscribed to us and stuff. And our average viewer ended up being 13 that day. Obviously, people were slowly leaving over time, because I was not expecting all 36 to stay. But it was really cool. It was like my most impressive stream yet. We unlocked this little achievement for having 50 people viewing at the same time and 15 people talking at the same time. It was nice.
Wow. That's cool.
Basically, I'm a professional streamer. Basically, it's actually mega hard to make money on Twitch.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we got 2 subscribers, but that's only $4. But still, if those people go and redo it every month and stuff, it'll add up eventually. Hopefully. But other than that, I feel like I had other stuff happen. Why can't I remember now?
Same.
Oh, we went with his friends to this like fancy restaurant kind of downtown, and I accidentally ate butter. We both accidentally ate butter. Uh-oh. We're both vegan, so we really misunderstood what was happening. They brought bread. We asked if it was vegan, and they're like, no, we'll bring you out some vegan bread. Then they brought out bread with an appetizer for our friends, and we thought that it was our bread. And it turns out we were just eating their buttery bread. And they came out with the other thing of bread, and they're like, all right, here's this other one. And we're like, fuck, what do you mean this other one?
Oh, no.
And the other one was also not vegan. We asked, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's egg wash on it. So none of the bread was actually vegan. It was okay. I only had a little bit of bread, so I didn't feel sick or anything. But that was kind of funny.
Damn.
I'm a bad vegan. And the french fries I ordered, they accidentally put cheese on them, so they had to bring us some more. They ended up taking off of our bill, so I was like, okay, thanks.
Well, yeah, it wasn't your fault.
I know, right? I felt weirdly bad, because I was like, I don't know if this is really big salt or if this is cheese. As stupid as that sounds, I thought it might just been really big salt. Dude. It wasn't. It was cheese. And what else has happened? I feel like more has happened. I was like thinking about last night, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have so much to talk about. This happens every fucking time.
I know. I literally like feel like I have more, but I can't remember.
I'm gonna remember as soon as we hang up too. I don't even think I'll remember them. Oh my god, I got my COVID booster shot yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And they put the band-aid on my arm where I have my Medusa tattoo, but it's like on top of her eyeball, so she looks like a little pirate.
It's funny.
But my arm is feeling pretty sore. Not as sore as the regular one. I guess that the booster is only half a dose, which I didn't know. I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, I'm not feeling as sore. But I don't know if this is because of the booster or if it's because I also sit like a maniac whenever I'm streaming. But my armpit feels like sore. Like it has a fucking bruise on it. And I genuinely don't know if that's because the soreness is in my armpit too. Or I was adjusting in my chair and like slammed my armpit down on my chair because I feel like
actually, it might be the booster shot.
I hope it's actually, the booster shot.
No, actually, because for me, it was actually kind of like really swollen by my
your armpit.
Yeah, like oh. It was very tender, and I guess my mom told me that was kind of like a side effect is swollen lymph nodes.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better because I was like tripping last night. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? I was like, what if I have like breast cancer and I didn't know something? It just comes on suddenly.
Yeah, that was me because I think I was like laying down and I had my arms up and I just kind of looked down and then like you could like physically see like I had like a not a lump, but like almost like a bump.
Close enough to a lump to make you freak out and think that you have cancer.
I was like, oh, what the fuck? And like it was really tender like when I would like touch it. And I was like, mom, like it kind of like it hurts right here. I thought it was like my binder or something.
Oh yeah,
because it's kind of like right there too. And I'm like, damn, is it too tight? Like, because it would hurt. Like my binder would like kind of agitate it more.
Ew.
And oh, for those of you who don't know,
oh yeah, binder, we should say
a binder is basically like this tight like compression like shirt, or they have like half tanks. And it basically compresses your chest, so you get that, like, flatter look.
Get that flat, flat chest.
To help with the dysphoria.
Yes. Until you can afford that $1 million surgery.
Exactly. but yeah, I think it's normal, because my mom told me.
Okay.
I was like, okay, cool, so I'm fine.
Okay. I took, like, medicine before we started streaming, because it, like, it hurt, and it also it kind of was freaking me out because obviously if you have pain near your breast at all, you're like, it's cancer. Yeah.
I was like, mom. I literally was scared. I was like, mom.
Schedule an appointment.
Why is it hurt right here?
I can't even like feel anything on mine, and it's hard for me to exactly touch where it hurts. It's like the inside muscle, which I don't think is how. I don't know. I also think if I had cancer, it wouldn't suddenly hurt really bad the same day that I get a vaccine.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of like really random timing.
It's coincidence.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it goes away in a couple of days because I don't like having pain there. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
But other than like the sore arm and stuff, Robert last night, because he got two, said that he randomly felt like he had the flu whenever he was like going to sleep.
Hmm.
Which I thought was fucking weird. And then I realized whenever I was going to sleep, which I didn't go to sleep till like 1:45 in the morning. I streamed hella late last night. It was a good stream. And so I like went to sleep. And while I was falling asleep, I was so cold. Like I was lifting up all my blanket, putting some of my face under the blanket because I was like really, really cold. And I like didn't feel that way at all yesterday. And now I'm realizing like, oh, did I have like a random ass like few hour long flu last night.
Yeah, you probably had a little fever.
It was so weird because I didn't have anything the first time and I was like freezing, like I had goosebumps on my arms and stuff. It was so weird.
You had the chills.
I did. I had the chills. I'm like your sister. I was shivering but I wasn't cold. It was really strange because I didn't have any symptoms the first time I got it, so I was like, I just thought it was cold in our room. And then I woke up and it was like hot, so I was like, oh, never mind, our apartment never gets cold, what am I talking about?
True.
Yeah, that was some big things happening my booster.
Cool. Oh, I'm officially 1 month on T.
I was going to say that earlier. I guess it makes more sense for you to announce it than me to announce it for you. I was looking at the date and I was like, ooh.
Yep.
Before we started recording, I told him that I'm pretty sure his voice sounds deeper. And you blamed it on being groggy for being awake. But I don't know. I feel like it still sounds deeper.
I mean, did we start recording? Because now I feel like it's more clear. But you're right. It did sound really, like, groggy.
It sounded groggy, but still sounds slightly deeper than normal, I swear. Are you still making your videos?
Yeah.
Oh, now you actually have a name.
Yeah.
No longer, this is Mr. Padilla.
No, I just started with I don't know what my name is yet. Or I haven't chosen a name yet, but this is one day on T.
But this is my voice.
Yeah. I just said, this is one day on T.
Oh, how often are you making the videos? Just every week?
Or yeah, every time I do my shot.
Oh, have the shots gotten easier?
No.
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 I like how the first time was so easy, and then now the adrenaline's worn off, and you're like, ah, it's just like a normal shot.
Yeah. Well, actually, last week?
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it on my left side or my left leg.
You usually do the right side?
Well, you're supposed to alternate, but last week it was my left leg.
Okay.
And I guess I did it too fast that it actually like created like a little lump.
Oh my god, what?
And like it was like really kind of like sore and tender. Ugh. And like it literally, because I asked my mom, I was like, it kind of hurts and like I have a lump. And she was like, oh, you put it in too fast. She was like, you have to like do it slower because it's literally like thick ass oil that I'm injecting.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh.
So it's all just like, sitting there?
Yeah, so it was basically just sitting there. She was like, try to massage it when you can.
Aww.
I was like, oh, okay. And it did take a while. She was like, it might be there for like a week or two. I was like, damn. But actually,
like, the tea's not spreading.
Yeah. By the time I did have to do my right leg, though,
yeah,
my other shot, it kind of cleared up already.
Oh, that's good.
I was kind of like, oh, yeah, me either. Until I told my mom, and then she was like, oh, yeah, you put it in too fast. And then
actually, so convenient that your mom's in the medical field,
right? But yeah, and then she basically was just giving me tips on like pinch your leg and do this. I was like, oh, okay. And I had my sister help me, and she basically pinched my leg while I injected myself.
Is it the 10-year-old or the teenager one?
No, the 16-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Because nice. My mom was like, kind of like, oh, do this, this, and this. And then my sister was like, yeah, like, do it like this. And she was like, come on, I want to go. I was like, okay.
That's so funny. How are you feeling on the tee? Any weirdness? I don't know if it affects anything. Like, for anyone out there trying to start tea, we need to let them know. Is it going well?
I think it's going well. Well, one thing that did kind of like, I was like, what the hell? Is I have been like bleeding. Like, it's not quite my period, but like,
whoa.
Like, I guess it's, well, like, because I was like, mom, is this normal? Like, I'm bleeding, but I'm not on my period. He said that that's normal because basically, on tea you do eventually like stop your period, and she was like, that's normal because it's because you're on tea, it's basically kind of like cleaning you out, I guess.
Weird. I was actually gonna say something like joking and be like, oh, it's just getting rid of it forever. And it actually is.
Sort of, yeah.
That's weird.
But yeah, that did kind of, I was like, what the fuck. I was like, I'm bleeding.
Like, what the fuck?
But I was like, my period's not due for like a little while. So I have been like kind of bleeding a little, not a lot, but here and there.
Okay.
But now I'm like,
thing.
Now I'm kind of like, how will I know when it's my period or not?
You won't. You won't.
Now I'm kind of like, damn.
That sucks. The forever period.
Yeah.
How long
is it? Not that bad.
How long does it take for your period to stop when you're on tea?
It takes a few months.
Like, a few months isn't too bad. I thought it would be longer.
No, it's a few months for it to, like, completely stop.
Oh, and that's cool.
If you do stop taking tea, I think it, like, eventually comes back. But, yeah.
That's cool. I didn't really know if it, like, stopped it completely or how that worked. That's awesome.
Other than that, I haven't really noticed
nothing. That's so cool. Your body's changing.
Yeah.
Puberty.
Well, I mean, I have noticed that I like my body odor kind of changing.
Oh, do you just smell like ass all the time?
Yeah. I guess.
Turned into a sweaty beast.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's literally been a month, so I wasn't expecting any major changes yet.
I'm expecting some crazy changes, clearly. Yeah, I ask every week. I'm like, what's happening?
I'm like, oh, my voice is supposed to...
Your voice is so deep, I can't even hear you.
Nice.
But it was funny, I just want to hear something.
Right? It's funny because the other day, I, like, yelled at Dante to, like, I don't know what he was doing, but I was like, go to your bed. But I guess I said
Dante's really his dog enough. If anyone doesn't know.
Oh yeah, my German Shepherd,
just like yelling at your brother, go to your bed.
I don't know what he was doing. He was being mischievous, or I think because he was like, I don't know what to, I don't remember.
He's like a weird dog.
But it was funny because my mom was like, damn, that testosterone coming through. I was like, stop.
I feel like you're going to always just be like, oh my gosh, stop. Nothing's changing. And you're going to have like a full on beard in a year saying this. You're like, no, I've always had a beard.
No, that's not true.
Just like a hella deep voice. Be like, no, I always sounded like this.
It's funny. I do sometimes when I'm alone in the car, I like try to sing with a really like low voice. I just entertain myself. Like,
are you going to be a professional singer now?
No. But, like, I was listening, I think, to, like, a Spanish song, and and like, his voice was really deep, and I was, like, trying to sing like him, and I was just entertaining myself, singing really low.
Was it going well?
Yes, I felt Ooh. Like I sounded pretty good.
Oh, wow. Do you want to sing us all a tune?
No.
What?
I'm shy.
It's okay.
Maybe I'll record myself and then play it for you, but I won't actually sing for you, like, in the moment.
I want you to look at your webcam, like you're looking into my eyes and sing to me.
I have to play the song.
No, what? No music. Just what? Your voice just only. Acapella? Just acapella? No. Wait.
Ew, no.
I just remembered. We didn't ask. How was your birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. You had a whole birthday.
Totally forgot about
that. Holy shit. By the way, if it wasn't obvious, our stories are not going to be the longest, so we have a lot to talk about beforehand.
Yeah, my birthday was the 24th. It was right before Thanksgiving. I turned 24. It was cool. It was good. I woke up and everyone had to work.
Stupid. They didn't even take the day off for you.
No, they tried. Oh. But my mom had asked and they said no. And so she Damn, that's like, fucked up. She's like, I should have just called out.
Right? And
then, well, Laris had just started her job too. So
she couldn't ask, really.
Yeah. And because she was asking for Friday off too. Disney.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, I woke up to a little present that Laris had made.
Cute.
Basically, like, this little box. And on the lid, she basically, like, taped pictures of us. And then, it's really cute.
Nice.
She taped pictures of us, and like, over the years. And then, Aww. Like, with little string and, like, little letters. She, like, hung it. Or taped it. And then it just says, like, happy birthday, Braided.
Aww. That's cute.
Yeah, and then in the box, like, she gave me, like, this little piñata, and it had a bunch of, like, Reese's pieces,
Gosh.
Like, the Reese's cups.
Was and it, like, then, a really tiny piñata?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, really tiny.
I love small things.
And she also got me, like, this, like, teal mug.
Like, oh, cool.
It literally looks like a mug, but it has a little like cap so you can like take it on the go.
Oh, nice.
Which I like really love the color.
I'm glad.
She also, what else? Oh, she gave me a Starbucks. Oh my god, that reminds me. I need to grab it out of there. She got me a Starbucks card.
Oh, gift card?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which, you know, if you know me, I love coffee, Starbucks. Yeah.
I miss whenever we recorded in person and sometimes you'd be like, do you want anything? And now here I am, drinkless.
Starbucks-less.
Starbucks-less.
And then she also gave me like this little jar and filled them with like little notes. Because my love language is words of affirmation.
Oh. So
I
need a lot of
like, I guess, compliments.
Yeah.
Like, and so she literally like made a little jar of a, she's like, so when you're feeling down, you could like grab one and read it basically.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I was like, oh, I literally almost started crying.
She's got all these like Pinteresty ideas down. Yeah. Damn.
Well, it's just, you know, since we don't have a job, or I didn't have a job, and she barely got paid today from her like
work. Mm-hmm.
So to be honest, we were kind of tight on money, and then Disney, we wanted money for Disney
of too. Course.
So she kind of went like the more
sentimental, like,
yeah, sentimental route.
It's cute though,
which is like a little cheaper, and it really is like, yeah,
it's more meaningful too.
It is like, yeah. I really did love, like, I loved it.
Oh, good.
I was like over here crying in the morning.
What a way to start your birthday,
right? And then my sisters made me breakfast.
Cute.
Me egg, and yeah, then I think I showered and everything, and then my sister recorded me opening my presents that like my mom got me.
Oh,
it was really nice. She got me like these brown boots. I've actually been wanting some.
I was thinking cowboy boots. Are they cowboy boots? Damn it! I was actually gonna suggest that.
They're just they. I mean, they kind of look like they could be. Watch, let me grab it.
You're a straight cowboy now.
But I mean, they do look like they could be.
They do. They look like hipster cowboy boots.
Yeah, they're like the Chelsea style boots.
Yeah, I like them, but the color is very cowboy-esque.
It is. Because, yeah, I have like some black ones, and they're kind of pointy. They're like the same kind of like Chelsea style.
Yeah.
But I've been wanting some brown ones, because I'm like, you know, for, I don't know, it just looks nice.
Like very,
like,
cowboy.
I guess cowboy.
Brayden's a cowboy. We already know.
Well, no, because I've actually, Jesus has some, my brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
He has some brown boots, and like every time he wears them, I'm like, dude, like, I want some brown boots like those. But yeah, she got me that, and she got me like a really nice like flannel.
Oh, cool.
And also like a jacket.
Nice.
I've been asking for like dress up jackets.
Yeah, you sing fancy.
Yeah. And so yeah. And then my sister, what'd she give me? I forgot.
Wow, must have been a lot to you. You're a bad brother.
Oh, I think it was the flannel. Because like, she was like, Mom bought it, but it's for me.
Oh, I love being young and having no money. And be like, yeah. I didn't buy this, but it is for me.
And she also made me like a homemade little birthday card.
Oh, that's cute. Like, it's
like paper folded up, and she like taped pictures of us.
Oh, inside, my gosh.
And basically wrote like, you're the best like big brother, and I was like,
stop, you're crazy. Yeah. Tell me again.
She's really cute though.
Oh,
but yeah, and then we basically waited, we got ready and everything, and waited until they got off work and mm-hmm. came home, and then they got ready, and then we went out to go eat sushi.
Oh, dang, was it good?
Yeah, it was delicious.
Nice.
And then we went to the 99 cent store to get a bunch of snacks for Disney the next day.
Ooh, wait, that's fucking smart. Why am I going to Target buying snacks like an idiot?
What?
I need to go to the 99 cent store.
Yeah, 99 cent store, Walmart, or 7-Eleven. Those are our go-to.
7-Eleven is actually kind of expensive.
That's true.
They're kind of overpriced because they know you have no other options to go to.
Or 99 cent store. Or even Walmart.
I know, we haven't gone to Walmart in a while. Because they're both like farther away from us, or maybe we're just so used to going to Target. That just blew my mind. I'm going to the 99 cent store next time, or the Dollar Tree.
There you go.
Dang, I'm glad you had a good birthday though.
Yeah, it was cool.
I have your present. You need to come get it at some point in your life.
Eventually I'll go.
I need to wrap your present though. It's in a box. It came in a box. I was like, should I just keep it in the box? I don't know.
You could. Yeah,
I could. I don't know how much wrapping paper we have. We have a bunch of wrapping paper under our bed, and we are dog-sitting Robert's parents' dogs. Dog. Just one. And he's, like, an Australian Shepherd, but he's, like, a baby kind of. He's, like, less than a year old. And he ripped all this stuff up underneath our bed. And we didn't notice for, like, a week until I went to grab something. And I was like, what is all this shredded paper? And I realized that that's what Cooper was doing. Damn. Little demon dog. I don't know how much of it's still good. I haven't taken it out. I just left all the ripped paper under there. Because it's under the bed anyway. I don't know. I didn't want to get it.
Didn't feel like cleaning.
I didn't feel like cleaning up.
Man, that sucks though.
Yeah. So we might buy more. Or maybe we'll just do all natural and just give people boxes. I don't know. I wouldn't care if someone did that to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't care either. Just put a bow on it.
Yeah, just put a bow. Exactly. But yeah. Anything else been going on?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we've only had an hour of updates. Is that even enough?
I think so. Usually okay. It's like 20 minutes.
Nah, it's not enough.
Well, technically it's not an hour because you're going to cut out a good chunk.
That's true. I always have to cut shit out. We do ramble sometimes more than we need to. Well, you ready to share your story?
I think so.
I'm scared for your story.
Why?
Because people who believe this actually really annoy me sometimes.
Oh, so you have heard about it.
Oh, yes.
Sheesh. It's pretty crazy theory.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you'll mention the thing I'm thinking of.
I might.
I have feelings that I will be sharing with everyone at the end of this, potentially.
All right. Well, I guess I'll get started. Crisis actor conspiracy theory. So, a crisis actor is a trained actor, role player, volunteer, or other person engaged to portray a disaster victim during emergency drills to train first responders, such as police, firefighters, or EMS personnel. Crisis actors are used to create high-fidelity simulations of disasters in order to allow first responders to practice their skills and help emergency services or organizations.
Sweet. I don't think I realized crisis actor is, like, a real thing.
Yeah, no.
It's just, okay.
Yeah, I'll get through.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it's so they prepare and train in realistic scenarios as part of a full-scale disaster exercise.
Disaster.
Actors take on the role of mock victims and stimulate specific injuries from a disaster and to add lifelike realism to an emergency exercise. And they even use like makeup and like cosmetics, even like latex and like rubber like effects.
Whoa. So it seems very real when you're doing these trainings.
Yeah. So they basically use all that to realistically portray victims' injuries so they can like practice on the medical like side of it too.
Okay.
And these actors also portray news reporters, relatives of victims, and concerned citizens. It basically adds to their training for personnel to cope with the variety of emotionally charged demands and requests.
Okay, so just how to deal with people.
Basically, deal with people during a disaster, literally with all the, like, the injuries, the, like, different, like, emotions that people might have, like, all of that.
Oh, I bet these actors get so into character during these, too. Oh, I bet. Oh, too. My God. That actually seems like it'd be kind of fun in the practice setting.
But yeah, I mean, crisis actors are like a real thing. They were created for a good cause.
I'm already looking at you like, ugh.
And then comes the conspiracy theory.
Ay.
So basically, the conspiracy theorists claim that some mass shootings and other disasters are staged. And victims and their families are being played by crisis actors.
This pisses me off so much. Mm-hmm.
So this theory actually blew up in 2012 after a former professor and professional conspiracy theorist, James Tracy, wrote a blog post where he suggested that the government could have hired an acting agency named Vision Box to help stage the Sandy Hook Elementary school shooting.
This pisses me off so much. Literally, little kids were shot and killed.
Mm-hmm. And they were basically saying it was a hoax too.
I saw stuff like that, and like parents on Twitter saying that people would like reach out to them and be like, "You never even had a kid," or something like that, and just saying that they're faking it.
Yep, I was gonna talk about that, but yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you have more. Oh my god! Usually, whenever we talk about conspiracy theories, I could get into it. This one just makes me angry.
Yeah, it's pretty. Like, it actually Well, I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally wrote.
Sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted.
No, it's okay. But yeah, he just says that Vision Box offered dramatic training in criminal and victim behavior to actors, intended to help bring intense realism to stimulated mass casualty incidents in public places.
What would be the point?
I don't know.
I think the point is to be, oh, so then that's why people want gun control like laws. And I'm like, but we didn't even get them. What would have been for nothing?
I don't know what they're thinking. But he also, James Tracy also promoted a crisis actor conspiracy theory of the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. They basically falsely claim that such attacks are false flag operations, which is an act committed with the intent of disguising the actual source of responsibility and pinning blame on another party.
So saying that did happen, but it was someone else?
Like a setup.
Okay.
But yeah, they basically say that the false flag operations are staged by conspirators, usually government or corporate forces, in order to achieve some goal, such as justifying increased government surveillance and basically, like, what's it called, military action?
Mm-hmm.
Just to up the forces, I guess.
Yay.
Which is, like, I can kind of see the point, but at the same time, like,
I think that there's not as much change after mass casualties as these conspiracy theorists seem to think that there is. Like, even after Sandy Hook, not much happened, like, as far as, like, gun control and stuff. Like, people were upset about that.
There's literally a fucking school shooting on Monday.
Yeah.
It is Thursday.
Yeah.
Literally. I know. Wasn't it in Oxford?
I think it was Oxford, yeah. He shot, like, 4 people.
And this is totally unrelated, but I saw this video this morning of this cop. It's like a body cam video, mm-hmm. and a cop pulls up to the scene, and they're, like, chasing this old man, or not chasing, but this old man is, like, on one of those motorized, like, wheelchairs. He's an older man, and he was, like, going back into the store, and the cop was, like, I'm not sure what store it was, but basically the male officer was, like, stop going into the store, and then just fucking shot him, like, 9 times.
Why? Mm-hmm. Ay.
And then it, like,
do you know where that was?
No.
I was gonna say, stories like this is why I want to move away from the U.S.
True.
That and the school shootings.
I mean, because it switches. I don't know if you've seen this guy on TikTok. He's this older, like, white guy, and mm-hmm. he has a really long beard, and he basically, like, calls out, like, white people and stuff like that. Like,
I think I've seen, like, screenshots of this guy, actually. Maybe. That sounds familiar.
Like, he has, like, a little bit of gray hair, and he's like, really awesome. Like, he'll literally, like, call out, like, white people on their bullshit, and, like, literally, like blast their, like, information.
Oh my god.
And just basically, like, he gets all the details, like, about them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, he basically talked about it, and he was like, dude, like, that was so unnecessary. Like, he didn't even try to de-escalate the situation, because I guess the officer said that he had a knife or something, but, like, he was literally in a wheelchair, and he was, like, 61. Like, they could have tased him, or
they could have
done something else.
Grab the wheelchair.
Just push him off.
I know. What?
That would have been more okay than shooting
him
9 times in the back.
Especially, yeah, he's, like, running away from you. Like,
Yeah, well, I guess because he was going back into the store, and I guess he had, like, stolen something, so that's why they were there. But the white guy was, like, literally, like, going off and was, like, you're so dumb, like, because he shot him 8 times and then, like, took a short pause and then shot, like, another time.
Was the 9th really necessary?
No.
What? I mean, none of them were necessary.
I mean, and then the body cam video of, like, the other officer that was there, like, she was right there in the shooting, and she was, like, what the fuck? Because she had her gun out, but, like, she didn't shoot or nothing. She was just like, oh, shit. I mean, you don't hear her, but like, just, I don't know, the body language.
You could tell she was like freaking out.
Yeah. Anyway, that was totally unrelated, but
no, it's scary.
It just felt I had to share.
Yeah. You, like, you saying that and you talking about school shootings is all reminding me, like, oh my god, I really want to move somewhere that there's not as much guns.
For real.
I get so scared. We were at the park once. I don't know if I ever said this, but we were at a park for, like, a family thing with Robert's family. And there was someone, like, in the park nearby. I guess that they were having a stupid baby sex reveal. And I just heard, like, a really loud, like, popping noise and then people screaming. And I thought for sure it was a shooting. And I was just like, oh my god, it's finally happening. But it was them doing a stupid baby thing. Oh my god. I wanted to, like, cry the rest of the day that we were there because it freaked me out so much. I can't even hear people yell in public without being like, I'm going to die.
Damn.
Yeah.
I found the video.
I don't know if I want to see because they show him getting shot.
Well, listen, you want to play the audio? The guy said.
Okay.
61-year-old disabled man in a motorized cart. A motorized scooter going like a mile an hour. Who was accused of shoplifting and had allegedly brandished a knife. And that police officer's best course of action is to ask him to stop, and when he doesn't, to shoot him 8 times in the back, then pause, and shoot him a 9th time. That man posed 0 threat whatsoever. Literally. In fact, there's an employee in the line of fire for the police officer, but that's... People not qualified to carry guns at their jobs are the ones doing the job that requires them to carry guns.
But yeah, he was just like upset. And actually, in the comments, in the comments, somebody was like, it said that it happened in their town and the officer lost his job and is being prosecuted.
Yeah, from what I saw, it says that it's in Arizona and police were making a move to fire the cop who shot him. And it was because he stole a toolbox from Walmart. Okay.
Sorry.
From one angry thing to another. Now you're going to be like, sorry about that. So anyway, people don't think that all these kids were killed. I'm like, you're not really moving on to something more positive here.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Crisis actors are claimed in this context to play the part of bystanders or witnesses, emergency response personnel, and wounded victims of the attacks. So basically, just saying how these crisis actors were acting in these major, like, tragedies that happened.
Pretending that they saw it, but really they weren't there.
Yeah, they were like, nah, they're crisis actors. They're not real people, basically.
Jesus.
Actually, I couldn't find the video, but back when this was, like, blowing up, I do remember, like, coming across a video of, like, supposedly their evidence of... It was a mom of a Sandy Hook student and, a supposed mom. And then it, like, cut to another clip of, like, another mom in some other school shooting. And they do look alike, but they were, like, saying, like, it was the same person. Like, it's fake, basically.
Okay, I mean, like, they could just look alike.
Yeah, I was like, there's no proof.
Yeah, or they could even just be, you don't even know for sure if they're pulling the footage from 2 different things. They could be pulling footage of the same person from the same incident.
Exactly. But yeah, another big advocate of this conspiracy theory is Alex Jones.
I fucking hate this piece of shit.
Yes, I actually didn't know shit about him, but don't worry, you'll learn about him.
He is scumbag extraordinaire.
Uh-huh. So he actually had a website dedicated to conspiracy. It's called InfoWars. It basically has all kinds of, you'll see, I'll talk about it more. But yeah, in his conspiracy website, he basically claims that the shooting was manufactured by the government. And fellow advocates of the theory go as far as to say what you said earlier, that the supposed victims never even existed.
Which is like the worst thing you could say to somebody who lost their kid, right? In a shooting. Like, you never had a kid.
Yeah, like, you're lying.
Like, you're trying to just erase their existence now. Like, fuck you guys.
Yep. And I actually read an article about one, like, the mom of one victim, Nebla Marquez Green. Mm-hmm. Her daughter Anna Grace, a 6-year-old, was killed in Sandy Hook. And she, in the article, her mom was basically just like talking about how she's been fighting with like online trolls trying to clear up like misinformation and basically like argue that like her kid was fucking real, like it was real, it wasn't like some kind of scam or anything like that.
That's so sad that she has to be put in that position.
Yeah.
Like having to defend herself from internet trolls when she lost literally a 6-year-old daughter. Yeah,
exactly. Ugh. And that's what she was talking about because it was like on Facebook and stuff, and just like how she like filed complaints with like Facebook and just try to stop it all and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just really sad. But in April of 2018, the parents of 2 children killed in Sandy Hook launched a lawsuit against Alex Jones for defamation, accusing him and his website, InfoWars, of engaging in a campaign of false, cruel, and dangerous assertions.
Good.
And now I was going to give you a little background on Alex Jones.
Scumbag extraordinaire.
Where do I begin? Well, he is a conservative, far-right white man from Texas.
We already know where this is going.
He is a huge promoter for many conspiracy theories. Besides Sandy Hook, it's the 9/11 attacks, the 1969 moon landing, as well as the Oklahoma City bombing.
I think he also says stuff about the Parkland, Stoneman. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The one a few years ago.
Yeah,
on Valentine's Day.
He is also a very big supporter of the Orange Man.
The Orange Man? What's the Orange Man? Oh, Trump?
Yeah.
What's the Orange Man, she says? Oh my god, orange, I did not know.
I should have said the orange trash man. Anyway.
I would have been like, is that like an urban legend?
Anyways. He was actually even a speaker at the rally in Lafayette Square Park preceding the attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, yay, yay.
But yeah, need I say more? I didn't want to look into more about him.
He sucks. Everything I read about him, I'm just like, why do you exist, bro?
I didn't even know who he was, but he, like, deadass has, like, a podcast and everything.
And I've heard of him before. I've heard a lot about, especially him saying that, like, Sandy Hook didn't happen. And, like, basically encouraging people to go attack all these parents who lost their kids.
I literally, like, went to go look at his website, and I was just like...
You're brave.
I was, like, literally, like, definitely speechless. Like, I literally was going to talk about, like, oh, I went on the website, so you don't have to. But I was, like, I don't even know what to say.
Like, none of us need to. No. We know all we need to know.
Yeah, you definitely don't. It's just, don't waste your time.
I should, like, we're for listening to conspiracy theories and talking about conspiracy theories, but not all these conspiracy theories are saying that these dead kids never existed. Like, that's just a whole nother level. That's not just being like, oh, Bigfoot. Like,
yeah,
that's just fucked up.
Very. But actually, in November of this year, literally just last month, he was found guilty by default after failing to provide documents to the court.
I read about that, too. Whenever you first started talking about him, I was like, but he was found guilty.
Yes. And of course, he announced that he will appeal the decision, but I guess we'll see.
I wonder what these documents were. Him proving that they weren't real. It's like, I lost them. I lost them.
Was that today? I have to turn them in today. No, I was just going to talk about how literally at the beginning of my research, because I had heard about the crisis actor theory before, and I kind of like, it kind of made sense, you know, how they say it was fake just for them to try to like basically create hysteria to get like what they want in a way.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, I was like, what the actual fuck?
You like, actually look into it and you're like, this is the most insane shit I've ever seen in my life.
Like, well, I think the thing that got me is how they're saying that those, like, victims weren't real. Like, They were definitely real.
They were real. They were little kids who were murdered.
Like, I definitely don't think you could pay someone enough for them to continue alive for this long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not, like, slip up.
No, it makes me very upset.
But yeah, definitely, like, after actually researching it all, I was like, what the fuck? This is, like, people actually believe this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can kind of see, like, why, but, like, the fact that they're so passionate about it is, like...
Literally harassing victims' families, like...
Like, literally, like, fucking online, always, like, saying, like, oh, you're not real, basically. You're a crisis actor. Like, it was fake news.
Yeah, during the Parkland one, like, one of the kids that went to the school, I follow him on Twitter because he's, like, very, he's, like, an activist for it now. Mm-hmm. And he gets, like, hate messages from people all the time, like, threatening to kill him even and stuff. And so saying dumb. He's a crisis actor because he looks like another teenage boy that might have been on TV at some point. It's nutty. I think that's why I know so much about the Alex Jones stuff, because I follow this kid and he, like, retweets stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the crisis actor theory.
That is one conspiracy that I won't even pretend could be real. Those people just suck ass.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I'm going to advertise this on Instagram without making it clear, like, we don't believe this. We're just talking about other people. I could just post pictures of Alex Jones, like, we're talking about the scumbag extraordinaire this week. he's actually an evil human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, do you know how much money he owes to the families now for the defamation case?
No, hopefully a lot. He's definitely had a bunch of I read that he had a lot of lawsuits and he's definitely paid a lot of fines, but he also has a lot of money, so.
It upsets me because I know that there's people who see him getting sued and see that as confirmation of their beliefs, and they're like, ah, well, they wouldn't sue him if he wasn't right. And I'm like, no, no, he just sucks.
Yeah, very true.
He's just a liar.
Yeah,
I was
like... Yeah, I heard there's a whole Wikipedia page on him, and I was like, trash.
It's like everything bad a person could say or do, he says or does.
Yeah, and it's like, makes it worse. He literally has a podcast, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, ew.
I'm, like, scared to actually even post anything about him, because I don't want his, like, crazy-ass followers to come find us.
Yeah, we should just...
we'll pretend this episode never happened. We'll just post memes this week. And if you know, you know. Yeah, I can't post pictures of him. People are fucking insane with InfoWars shit.
True.
I sometimes see, like, the bumper stickers at, like, Costco or something, and I'm like, oh my god.
He has bumper stickers?
I've seen InfoWars bumper stickers.
Oh, really?
It's how you know that someone's straight up nutty at the grocery store.
That they're into all types of conspiracy theories.
Yeah. You're like, wow, someone in here doesn't think that all these kids were killed. Wow. Okay.
Okay, bye. Wonder
which person it is. What a fun little game. Okay, my story is very different, but in a better, I can't say it's good exactly, but it's not denying people died, which is good.
All right.
Yeah, so like I said, this week I'm gonna be talking about conspiracy theories about why so many people have gone missing in national parks and forests. So I did want to do a little bit of shout out to Leah, my sister, who used to be a co-host on the podcast, because she actually told me about this one thing that inspired my research this week, and it's a book series called Missing 411. So I didn't read these books. I should start by saying that. I did watch one of the two documentaries on them, though. And I'm stupid. I didn't realize it was free on Hulu, so I paid like $4 to rent it on Amazon, and then I found out that I could have watched it for free.
Damn, maybe like that.
Yeah. I didn't watch the second documentary. I was going to, but then I started going down a whole other rabbit hole from the 411, which you'll see shortly. I was telling Brayden before we started, if you all know that meme of the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia looking insane with a whiteboard behind him, that's like me during my research, how this it was all making me feel. So I don't even know if everything's related. It's just kind of like a shit show of information I'm going to throw at you.
All right.
Yeah. So The Missing 411 was written by a former detective named David Paulides and is mostly about people who have gone missing under what he believes to be unusual circumstances in national parks and forests in, like, Northern America. Reportedly, David became interested in this topic in earnest after speaking to a national park ranger. And on this conversation, he said, "I sat in my room at the lodge and listened to the ranger tell me about a series of missing people inside our national parks. The ranger stated that the events were very unusual. Many people were never found. And the Park Service was doing everything possible to keep a lid on the publicity surrounding the missing. He explained that non-law enforcement employees weren't privy to all the information, but that the upper echelon law enforcement supervisors inside the Park Services were concerned about the numbers and certain facts surrounding specific cases." Whew, what a quote that was. Oh my god, that took all my life out of me. So, I should mention that there are people who try to discredit David, actually, because as well as being interested in these missing people cases, he's also a big believer in, like, Bigfoot, too. And he makes a lot of, like, vague statements that lead people to believe that he thinks Bigfoot could have had something to do with the disappearances. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I also read that he may have been fired from his job in law enforcement after being charged with a misdemeanor for falsely soliciting for charity. And I was unable to confirm this because, like, the link I wanted to use was broken. And some people think that this is just, like, a rumor to discredit him. But if it's true, he'd basically been getting autographs from celebrities saying that's for charity and just keeping them for himself. Which is honestly fucking hilarious.
That's smart.
Oh my god. That's smart. That's some big brain shit.
Until you get caught.
I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, why not just ask for an autograph for yourself? Like,
that's true.
Must you say it's for charity? Not necessarily to side with his opposition, but some of the quotes from a Vice article on him were, like, super, super weird. Like this one. And again, this is out of context. This is just a random quote. I did not read his books. But it said, "People disappear and are found in the middle of berry bushes. They go missing while picking berries, and some are found while eating berries. The connection between some disappearances and berries cannot be denied." I didn't read the book. I don't know if this was, like, a serious thing. And I did read that there he'd be, like, connecting cases, and he'd be like, this person's name started with an A, and this person's name started with an A. Like, that's, it's a connect.
That's very suspicious.
Very suspicious. Yeah, so I think it's safe to say he reaches sometimes. Oh my god. Just what a line. The connection between some disappearances and berries cannot be denied. Is that a real quote? Did I just, like, include a fake quote? Who knows? It just sounds too good to be real. Well, some of what he writes is criticized. One thing he discovered that is actually super insane and is apparently real is that National Park Services don't keep track of missing persons who have gone missing in their parks.
What?
Yeah. So this Vice article that I got my information from, it's from 2017, and they even confirmed this as they reached out to the National Park Service and were told that comprehensive list of all missing people in the parks does not exist. Which is weird.
But why?
I know. I looked into it myself, and I was able to find a list of, like, cold cases involving missing people in the parks, but my interpretation of it was just that this is a list of cases that they're, like, currently keeping open, you know? Like, not all of them. Because it even said on the page, like, oh, if you're wondering about a missing person not on this list, just search for them on another page. I'm like, what?
That's interesting.
It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue is that it seems that case by case, it changes, like, who actually investigates. So sometimes it's, like, local police, but sometimes the National Park Service manages the case themselves. And this could be what is, like, messing up the database of missing people. Because if it's decided that local police are going to handle it, then they're like, all right, this is none of my business. And the police record the cases and not the parks.
Hmm.
I feel like there should be something, though. Like, I don't know if this is, like, a technical behind the scene thing. But I'm like, you guys need to get a program in there. And, like, you should have a list of everyone who went missing there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it should be, like, law enforcement's job to, like, update you guys on what's happening, but there should be a list. That's weird. But anyway, despite his books and documentaries describing the weird and sometimes similar disappearances, David himself actually doesn't even have a theory as to what happened to all these people. But don't worry, because people online have plenty of ideas. So this is what really inspired my deep dive. Because there are some people who believe that there are feral people living in national parks. Basically, undomesticated cannibals who may hunt people who get lost.
That reminds me of the American Horror Story spinoff.
Oh, I didn't see it. What is it?
It's called American Horror Stories, and one of the episodes is about that.
Oh, the anthology one you're telling me about? Like the one that it's a different episode or different theme every episode? Yeah. Oh, I need to watch that shit still.
You need to watch that episode.
It's especially, I did watch this one.
It's literally that. Like, it's a family goes camping. It's like a husband and wife and their little boy. And The little boy, like, disappears.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, he loses him. And then they spend, like, the whole time, like, hiking different parts. Because it's a big-ass, like, forest.
Yeah.
And, like, years have passed. And then they, like, find this guy who's, like, willing to, like, explore that part of the forest with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. I don't want to spoil it, but like the ending is like so weird.
Okay, I'm like, very interested.
There is like weird ass people in the forest.
Feral people.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw feral people, I was like, I'm going in.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it, the ending.
Okay. I need to watch that shit for sure. Okay. One article I read referred to these people as little feet, but I prefer feral people. I don't know why the little feet. I don't think that they explained why.
It ain't big feet.
It ain't. Yeah, actually, I think that is it. It's not Bigfoot, but something.
It's little feet.
Yep.
That's funny.
In theory, these people would look more like animals than human, have their own language to speak to one another, and have a distinct petting zoo smell. According to one article, there have been reports in more than one national park of people with messy hair, dirty, naked bodies, running on their hands and feet like animals through the wild. Which, if I saw that, I would just immediately drop dead, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I can't even, nope. Just nope.
Okay, bye.
Okay, goodbye. I'm leaving this park. Supposedly, when posts like these are put on social media, they end up getting deleted, like someone's trying to hide something. But, you know, it always could be the creator deleting the video and pretending, oh my god, my video got deleted.
What the hell?
What? That's
crazy.
It's theorized that the government actually knows about these feral people, but for whatever reason, they keep it a secret from the public, instead leaving, like, designated trails, campsite, and areas that civilians are not advised to traverse. And this theory actually gained a lot of traction on TikTok. So, like, you know, you'll go hiking somewhere and they'll have, like, signs that are, like, do not enter this area. Mm-hmm. The theory would be that, yeah, they say that because that's where the feral people live. And if you go in there, sorry, you might get fucking killed. Yeah, I mean, I never go past the sign, so I don't know. A TikToker whose name is The Present Believer posted about an experience she had in the Big Bend National Park area back in January of this year. So in the video I found, she wrote like as a caption, when you remember the night you heard a family screaming for their lives from the mountaintops of an 800,000 acre national park. And 2 days later, when you asked if everything was okay, none of the park rangers knew what you were talking about, even though you called the police and they told you the park would handle it. So fucking sketchy. According to the articles I read, the user, whose real name is Ariel, had been camping with her husband and daughter in Big Bend. And on the fifth night of their trip, they were, like, hanging out on a patio of some lodge and heard multiple people screaming in the distance, screaming that Ariel described as blood-curdling. Reportedly, they heard a woman screaming, "We're gonna die," a child screaming, "Mommy," other voices calling for help and asking to call a ranger. The last thing they heard was a woman saying, "I love you, just know that." So Ariel did call the police and park rangers, but apparently they were, like, unable to find anything in the area. And when she went and asked them what happened later, nobody knew what she was talking about. Yep. A second user, whose name was Coincidence Theorist, responded to this TikTok with her own story from the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. The actual TikTok was deleted, but I was able to find a video of it on a random Facebook post, and that was like literally in another country. I don't even know what language this was for the caption. In this video, Coincidence Theorist claims that there are feral, cannibalistic people that live out in national parks, and while they usually just snatch kids as their easy targets, they are known to sometimes attack whole families. They also say that local and federal government know about this issue, but that they try to do everything they can to hide it, although locals still know what's going on. They also point out the case of Dennis Martin in relation to this theory, saying that while officials may say they don't know what happened to him, they actually do, insinuating that the Faroe people had something to do with his disappearance. So I'm going to tell you all a little bit about the disappearance of Dennis Martin. Dennis Martin was just 6 years old when he vanished without a trace on June 14, 1969. Dennis was from Knoxville, Tennessee, and had gone to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park with his 9-year-old brother Doug, his dad Bill, and his grandpa Clyde for the family's annual Father's Day weekend camping trip. This is actually Dennis's first time joining the trip, which had been a yearly occurrence for decades. Dennis, called Denny by his parents, was around 4 feet tall and weighed 55 pounds. He was white with dark brown eyes and wavy brown hair. While he'd never been camping away from home before, he'd been on hikes since before he was even able to walk, so he was like very confident out in the woods. He'd actually often lead the way on trails and walk so fast that even adults wouldn't be able to keep up with him.
Damn.
I know. I'm like, on those little legs? 4 feet tall?
Yeah, he's tiny.
I know.
Just a wee baby.
On June 14th, they'd been on day 2 of their camping trip and were planning on spending the night camping at Spence Field near the Appalachian Trail where they'd met some more of the Martin family. I'm assuming that means like cousins and stuff. Around 4:30 in the afternoon on June 14th, Dennis, his brother, and 2 other boys from a different family camping with them all wanted to like hide and surprise their parents. The 4 kids were all seen putting their heads together and whispering their secret little plans before spreading out. Doug and the other 2 boys going to the south and Dennis to the northwest, as the other boys didn't want Dennis's red shirt to give away their location. So fucked up. When Doug and the other boys jumped out to scare the adults, they pretended to act surprised and everything, and were like, oh my god, and they all just like laughed it off. Around 2 to 3 minutes later, though, Bill began to wonder when Dennis was going to jump out, as he'd seen him, like, going behind a bush on his own. Bill and his father Clyde began to call for Dennis, but they didn't receive an answer. Getting more worried now, the group of campers began to go out and search for the little boy. While Clyde hiked to a ranger station to report him as missing, Bill himself ran down the trail for nearly 2 miles before coming back to camp, deciding that it was unlikely Dennis had made it that far. He crossed paths with another hiker along the way, but that hiker also had not seen anything. Before long, the clear day was struck by a downpour of rain that dropped almost 3 inches of water in just a few hours. The water washed out trails and caused streams to flood, and high winds made it unlikely that any of their calls to Dennis were actually heard. Temperatures that night dropped to around 50 degrees, which was worrying as Dennis had only been wearing a shirt with shorts and tennis shoes when last seen. Like, he didn't even have a jacket with him. Throughout the night, the family would occasionally leave the shelter to call out for Dennis, but they did not receive any answers. By 5 a.m. the next morning, rangers had assembled a search and rescue team to find the little boy. As while the area was beautiful, it was also noted as having steep slopes and ravines and holding dangerous wildlife such as venomous copperhead snakes, bears, feral hogs, and bobcats. That afternoon, news of Dennis's appearance had spread to his hometown, where his mom found out about it while at church. She herself actually said, "I have a feeling we're going to find him. Maybe God sent this ordeal to us so we could appreciate things more." And that day, more than 240 people showed up as volunteers to help search. While most would see this as like a positive thing, Park Ranger Dwight McCarter actually saw it as a potential for crucial evidence to be lost, which I honestly didn't even think about, which makes sense. With every person driving in and leaving footsteps in the mud, he worried that signs of Dennis would be lost. In his own words, "All those people, that's a lot of footprints, all those trucks. We searched and searched and searched. Something should have been found, but you have to know what to look for. Get just a few of us trackers in first and give us a chance." 2 days after going missing, the search party had become nearly 300 people, and the next over 365. As a week passed, searches were estimated to be numbered around 1,400. The largest search to ever occur in this park. That's a lot of fucking people. As they searched, the rain continued, causing flash floods and dangerous conditions. At one point, a volunteer accidentally shot himself in the leg somehow, and another fell off a bridge and broke his arm. So these volunteers are really kind of just causing more trouble than they were worth. Park officials themselves later admit that having that many inexperienced people search in the beginning was probably a bad idea. There was no organization. People just showed up and would go wherever they wanted to look. Some of these searchers had never even been in the park before, and others didn't know how to use a compass. Well, obviously, this was a pretty big fuck-up. At the same time, I think everyone felt sure that they were just going to find him any second, that there was no point in wasting time coming up with a plan of action, because he's probably, like, right around the corner. One park employee said, "Today, we would not have anywhere near that number. Over 100 people is considered a good-sized search in this day and age. We can manage those folks. But in those days, we just didn't know how to go about looking for someone who's lost. It's the wilderness version of the needle in the haystack." Not everyone searching was inexperienced, though. They also had rangers and National Guard looking, and there's actually a group of Green Berets there who, just like the volunteers, though, had been, like, searching and run out of rations while out looking, and they had to cook a rattlesnake that they'd found to eat.
Jeez.
And I'm like, how big is this fucking park? It must be massive. I've only been to national parks and you, like, drive from trail to trail, but imagine being there without driving. I'm like,
yeah, that's...
that's a whole nother story.
Yes.
While searches continued on the ground, helicopters flew above the park, with Bill inside calling out for his son. It's unclear if he was even able to be heard above the sound of the chopper blades, though. One of the very few clues ever found was spotted on the fourth day of searching. A pair of hikers had been walking near a creek and found a trail of small footprints. One of them looked to be from a barefoot and the other from a tennis shoe. Rangers made a cast of the prints, but the Martins thought that they looked too big to belong to 6-year-old Dennis. Green Berets had also searched the area previously and said, "When we get through with an area and say he's not there, he's not there." Park officials eventually decided that the prints must have been left by a Boy Scout searching for Dennis. Now retired Ranger Carter thought that the prints were dismissed way too early. As he pointed out, they didn't find tracks from a bunch of kids. They found tracks from one kid. He was by himself, and none of these scouts who had been through were barefoot. That'd be reasonable that he might have hit this trail. If it was dark, this looks like a trail. If you didn't have a flashlight and you didn't know the terrain and you're 6 years old, you'd be awful young to have to make those kind of decisions on your own. How do you find a single print? One of them's not even wearing a shoe, and you're like, this must be the searchers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know it looked like a bigger print, but like... I don't know. Maybe the way it was raining made it look like it expanded or something. I don't know. I just wish that they would have looked into that more. On the sixth day of searching, June 20th, Dennis should have been at home celebrating his 7th birthday. Instead, he had disappeared and park rangers were discussing how they could find and recover his body. June 22nd was his 8th day missing, and by then, the surrounding 56 square miles had been searched with no sign of the little boy. On June 25th, the Martin family headed home without their son, and just 4 days later, park officials ended all of the major search efforts. From there on out, the search continued only with a small amount of rangers, including McCarter, who I'd mentioned earlier. On July 3rd, McCarter said him and a group were searching when they smelled a foul scent in the wind. He recalled, "It was just a smell that wasn't animal, I didn't think. I'd smelled dead bear and deer. They smelled different." When he called in his report, park officials radioed back and told him they'd already checked the area and to move on. So they did, a decision which McCarter still questions to this day. Thinking back, he wondered if it really was an animal over there, saying, like, "It wasn't a crow. I smelled a dead crow. This was worse." When asked about how certain he was today of what he smelled, he could only say 5 out of 10, as, you know, like, it's literally been, like, 50 years. But he did note that the smell was coming from downwind to the area where they'd seen the child's size footprint previously. He said now that it was worth checking and it should have been checked. So the smaller search teams continued looking until September 11, 1969, when the search was declared closed. In total, it had cost around 13,500 man hours, which is $70,000 at the time, and now around $525,000. With the searches ended, the Martins had nothing to do but wait and hope that their child was somehow okay. They offered a $5,000 reward for any information leading to him being found, and Bill even told reporters that Dennis could have been kidnapped, although he did admit that there was no evidence of that, just that it was the only scenario where his son could still be alive. There weren't any new updates on the case until over a month later, when a possible witness came forward. Harold Key, the father of a family who was camping not too far away, recalled that the weekend Dennis went missing, he'd heard a scream in the woods. He said it had been around 6 to 7 p.m. when he heard what he described as a treble scream, an enormous, sickening scream. We couldn't tell which direction it came from, but it sounded like it was higher on the mountain to me. Just a few minutes later, he and his son saw a figure moving in the bushes across the creek. While his son thought it was a bear, Harold himself believes that it was a man who, like, was trying to hide. He wasn't too worried about the sighting at the time, and he thought that this is just, like, a moonshiner. Okay. I don't know why that's the other option. Harold went across the creek and found what he described as a crudely drawn map on a piece of paper around where the man had been. Upon going back to the parking lot, he found that the only other car that had been parked there, an older model white Chevy, was now gone. It wasn't until the next day that he learned about the missing Dennis, and while he tried to tell himself that it was all fine, it had nothing to do with it, he eventually couldn't help thinking that the scream was related and came forward. This claim was investigated, and it was found that Harold had likely been more than, like, 5 miles away from the Swin's Field, which is around 7 to 9 via the trails. At that distance, investigators thought it was extremely unlikely that someone could have abducted or killed Dennis in a bright, open meadow, run 5 to 9 miles back to their car in just a few hours, and not left any evidence at all. So, while park officials think that this was totally unrelated, Harold Key still stuck with his story until his death at the age of 94. Another witness included a woman who claimed she saw Dennis in the back seat of a passing car in Knoxville, but no evidence of this sighting was found. In July of 1985, a man came to McCarter with a shocking story. Years before, he'd been illegally hunting in the park when he claims to have stumbled upon a child-sized skeleton in ground disturbed by an uprooted tree. A team of 30 people was sent to investigate the area, but no remains were found. He didn't want to get in trouble for legally hunting, so he didn't say, "Hey guys, I found a child skeleton." What? I feel like that would be enough to get you not in that much trouble for hunting.
Okay.
In the 90s, a man contacted park officials thinking that perhaps he was Dennis Martin, but he was not. I could call him and be like, "Hey, I think I'm this little boy." And they're like, "You're not." You're wrong. As of today, the case of what happened to Dennis Martin still remains up for debate. Some believed he just died of exposure, hunger, and dehydration after getting lost, but others, like the TikToker I mentioned earlier, wonder if he could have been the victim of cannibals living in the woods. And while it seems unlikely to me at least, unless Dennis's remains are found, we may not be able to 100% say that this theory is wrong. Another theory about people missing, not necessarily Dennis, is that there are human-like creatures living in the wood who could pose a threat to humans that happen to wander into their territory. Kind of like how I said earlier, designated areas for them. So this one person, whose YouTube name is Chronicles of Olivia, shared a personal story of an experience she had in Olympic National Park in 2013 when she was just 14 years old. She said that she was in the park with her mom and had wandered off to Lena Lakes to take some pictures when she saw what she thought were hundreds of humanoid footprints, inches deep in the mud. The footprints were of varying sizes, like they'd come from a family. Olivia believes that these could not have been human imprints because there's like a ridge above the arch that is not normally seen in human feet called a mid-tarsal break. I didn't look too much into it, but basically it's a part of the foot that allows the foot to bend in the middle, similar to feet of primates. So, like, you may be walking on the ball of your foot and arch it, you know, like, go walk like this, like, the front down first and the back up. And with this, the foot's bending from the middle. So, like, where your arch is bending out. Here, I'm going to show you this picture of, you could kind of see the line on the foot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can also see that footprint is, like, inches deep in mud.
Yeah, that's,
like, it's interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, these feet.
It's a Bigfoot's baby.
Right? I'm going to be putting pictures of this on Instagram, but, yeah. The toes of the footprints also looked, like, squared off and very cube-like. Olivia does acknowledge that a similar footprint could be found by someone suffering from cuboid syndrome. So this is an injury that's mostly found in, like, athletes and ballerinas, and it's when the cuboid bone in your foot kind of, like, locks in place and causes it to be like that. It just sounds painful. It's not like crazy rare or anything, but of course it wouldn't be the most comfortable feeling. So kind of weird to go walking around in a national park barefoot with this injury.
Yeah.
Especially as it was like cold and rainy and the ground was covered in gravel nearby. Not the most comfortable. I also looked it up myself, and the trail to Lena Lake that I found at least has a 1,300 foot incline. So fuck that with any kind of injury. Like, that sounds awful. The prints were also like going to and from what looked like a small opening in the woods, and some like went into the lake as far as 10 feet as far from what she could tell. Olivia tried to replicate how the prints had gone down 4 to 5 inches. She said that around the time she probably weighed like 130 pounds and she was jumping up and down to try to make an indent, but wasn't able to even get an inch. But she did say, like, to be fair, the weather could have affected this, and the prints looked like they'd been there a few days, so perhaps it had been raining more during the time they were made. The ground was more wet. As she walked around wondering what she was looking at, she felt like she was being watched by someone or something. She admits that this all could have been some kind of weird hoax, but doesn't really understand why or how it would have been faked. So, while Olivia doesn't have any definitive answers as to what she saw that day, she does have some ideas of her own. She believes that what she saw were prints left by humanoid creatures living in the parks that have not yet been classified as a species. She believes that the government knows that these creatures exist, but they try to keep it a secret so people won't be afraid to go out. Her case was eventually filed with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. So, until now, I had specifically been talking about stories that take place in the U.S., but of course, there are other similar odd sightings from all around the world. Kind of, I told you, this is literally just like an insane mess of things I'm telling you all.
Your big-ass whiteboard.
Yeah, my big-ass whiteboard. I am now getting away from national parks and going to another country. This one TikToker, BeBetter10, claims that she witnessed unusual things from two different continents. Once while taking a scenic flight over Kakadu National Park, the largest national park in Australia, she said that her group saw smoke coming out of a heavily wooded area in the middle of nowhere. And when they asked the pilot what they thought it was coming from, the pilot said that it possibly was an Aboriginal tribe that had no contact with the modern outside world. Which is crazy. Another time, while in the Philippines, she claims that they'd been traveling to a destination north of Manila, but had accidentally put their directions to avoid toll roads and ended up on a dirt road between two forests. While driving along this deserted road, they suddenly saw a person who was completely naked dart across the street. She claims that this person was pale white with blood red eyes. And she ended the video by saying, "We don't know what's out there." Okay, so I'll say straight up, I'm not the biggest believer in Bigfoot or feral people. But it is a known fact that there are people in the world who have not been introduced into modern society and, like, choose to be isolated. And this is, like, not fake. This is a known thing. For example, the Sentinelese people in India, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, you might have actually heard of this story, but they're an indigenous people who live completely isolated from the world on North Sentinel Island in the Bay of Bengal and northeastern Indian Ocean. Evidence of their existence goes back as far as the 1700s, and they're noted as not being the most welcoming of strangers. But straight up, like, I don't blame them. I'm not going to go much over their history, like, maybe I'll do this another episode. But apparently, once in the 1880s, a Navy officer decided he wanted to make contact with these people. So he led an armed group of people to the island, which caused the Sentinelese people to flee into the tree line, because obviously, a fucking armed group of Europeans, I'd peace out too. After searching for several days, the group eventually captured 6 people, 1 elderly man, a woman, and 4 children. Which is weird. This doesn't sound like ideal contact when you have to capture 6 people. But, you know, maybe that's just me. Not long after they'd taken them to another island, the man and woman died of illness, and the children began to show signs of sickness. They quickly decided to take back the children, along lots of gifts to establish friendly relations. So basically, they kidnapped 6 people, exposed them to diseases that they likely had no immunity to, and then were like, yeah, let's be friends, though. Just super fucked up.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and it's believed that the illness brought back by the children from the Europeans actually played a big role in why they were so hostile towards outsiders later on. Which, I really can't blame them for that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just...
Justified.
Yeah, you can't just go and kidnap people. And, like, you Europeans were, like, gross. They had, like, bubonic plague and shit over all these years. Like, y'all have all these diseases that these people have never been exposed to.
Yeah.
Over the years, there were more attempts to contact the Sentinelese people, some of which actually ended well and, like, they'd accept gifts. And others ended with the people killing intruders to the land. So... this is the one that you actually might have heard about, because I heard about this whenever it happened. Back in 2018, there was a pretty big story when a 26-year-old American missionary named John Chow was killed by them. Now I'm just going to go and tell you a little about this, because this story was wild to me. I told you, this is like the most random story I have said yet. How did I even get here? I don't know. John had been sent by a U.S.-based Christian missionary organization and had a goal of contacting and living with the Sentinelese people and hopefully converting them to Christianity. He was able to pay fishermen to illegally take him near the island, and he attempted to make contact but was met with resistance. He'd written in his diary, "Lord, is this island Satan's last stronghold where none have heard or even had the chance to hear your name? The eternal lives of this tribe is at hand. And I think it's worthwhile to declare Jesus to these people. Please do not be angry at them or at God if I get killed. Don't retrieve my body." He attempted to make contact multiple times, and on one occasion, he'd been holding a waterproof Bible that someone actually shot an arrow at. It's just crazy. It's so interesting to me that people like are just like living like this, like it's centuries ago, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't even know. I'm like, an arrow, what?
A sword?
I know, literally.
No TV?
That's the worst part. No podcast? Nah, they still have podcasts.
I mean, but if you don't know, like, if you've
you
never
don't
experienced,
know?
Yeah, if you've never experienced it, you're not really, you don't know you're missing out.
That's the weirdest part to me, is that they just don't know. I mean, they know a little bit from, like, strangers that they've accepted gifts from, but, like, they are completely isolated.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, like, that's their choice, whatever, but it's just wild that that's the thing. So, John was last seen by fishermen on November 17th, 2018, when they saw his body being dragged by the islanders, and the next day saw it on the shore. He was later buried on the island, and his body has not been recovered. This is, like... a whole other story. Like I said, like, maybe we should talk about this sometimes, because it was making me angry, actually, because why do some of these, like, Christian groups, they put so much pressure, this is how I'm thinking of it, they put so much pressure on their members that they'll literally go and allow themselves to be killed or expose an entire island to disease and kill them, all just to be like, I just need to make sure that they heard about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, bro, why? Maybe it's just because I know, maybe it's because I'm not religious, but it actually, like, makes me annoyed. I'm like, that was so unnecessary. Why'd you do that? But anyway, the moral of this wild, wild story is that there are these uncontacted people living all around the world. There are perhaps as many as 200 tribes and 10,000 people who live in this isolated world. I mean, that's just, like, known, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. There's, like, laws, like, protecting them and stuff, and they just don't even know. They don't even know. They're just hanging out. I mean, there's pictures of some of them, like, taking drones and stuff, and I can only imagine that they're like, what the fuck is that?
That's a
weird-looking
bird.
I know, right?
Damn, well, that's crazy.
Isn't it so crazy? I was getting so sidetracked reading about this because I thought it was, like, the most interesting thing, and I was looking at people and, like, this, like, little villagey thing in, like, Brazil that they just live totally uncontacted, and I'm like, how do you guys not know? How do you not know about anything?
Why don't you?
I know. So, well, in my mind, unlikely. It is, I guess, technically possible that a group of these people are living somewhere deep in the national parks, but to me, that still doesn't answer how the bodies of missing people have not been found, unless, you know, maybe people are right and it is a cover-up. But yeah, that story didn't even have, like, a great... it was just a lot of random facts together, because that was a wild ride of research, let me tell you. But so interesting. So, so interesting. And all I want to do for the rest of the day is just read about more of these people living in isolation and be like, what? Especially when there's pictures of them with people, like... they weren't hostile to everyone. Like, they accepted gifts from some people. So I'm like, there's, like, pictures of them, like, walking to people's boats and, like, taking gifts. And I can only imagine what they're thinking. They're like, all right, weird white people giving me free shit. Sounds good. Now leave. It's so crazy. It's so cool, though. I don't know. I don't know why I think it's so interesting. It's just, they just don't know any what's happening out here. Or they know and just don't want to know. They actually just moved out there in 2003, and they're pretending that they don't know anything.
Yeah, they're like, fuck that.
Fuck that shit. And then they just, like, talk in gibberish whenever people come by, and they're like, those idiots don't even know we speak English. Fucking idiots. Yeah, that's it for my very all-over-the-place story.
Damn.
Do you have anything else to add?
Mm-mm.
Well, if anyone would like to email us your stories, especially if you have any crazy stories about national parks, Bigfoot, feral people, any of that, like, I'm mega interested. Our email is thespookyshit.pod@gmail.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are spookyshit_pod, and our website is spookyshit-pod.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. This has been an interesting episode, for sure. Really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll talk to you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you.